God for his love and faithfulness, and how much God has enabled us even in this year 2021. You agree with me that the year 2021 for us, as we have seen the way God is starting with us, is a glorious year. If you believe that, say louder amen. And we'll continue in the series where we stop. Please help me switch off this one. In the series where we stop, we'll continue this morning. And I don't know, the weather is cold for me. I don't know. Amen. Where we stop last week. So we'll be looking at a very interesting subject, taking our scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And the Holy Spirit lately began to show me some things we have to look into in verse 6 of that scripture. So give me 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to give me from verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and from verse 4. Let's open our Bible and look at that scripture. Very important. The Bible speaking, the Bible says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" God will have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God will have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we've been able to see that this is the heartbeat of God. This is what God wants for every man. That every man that comes to the earth be saved, and after they are saved, they should be taught the knowledge of the truth. They should be taught the knowledge of the truth. This is very important. That salvation is the beginning of learning. Just like the Bible says, the fear of God is the beginning. And my own interpretation of that scripture is that that fear of God there means salvation is actually the beginning of the journey to knowing. Salvation doesn't make you a non-entity or a fool. Salvation positions you for revelation. And so when you are saved, you are positioned for study. Apostle Paul, instructing both churches and individuals, he instructed Timothy and prayed that prayer for them, that they will come to the revelation knowledge of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Praise God. I don't think we should, usher should not be told what should happen. Should not be told that. Should take him to Sunday school. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, we've been able to see by the grace of God that when you are saved, God wants to put you under a teacher. Today you see somebody is saved and he starts a ministry. I say, God has called me. And he gather people like himself and start teaching them what he doesn't know. All you'll be hearing is that I heard the call. That's why somebody will convert an entire church into a mosque. It's a foundational problem. You will find out that she met Christ one time in her life. And so when you are saved, the first thing, I think I shared it on the social media, somebody posted something. He said the greatest gift God gives you after you are saved is to put you under a pastor that knows the word. See, that's the biggest gift. It's not to give you a car. Because if God give you a car or give you money, ignorance will make you stop coming to church. because of the money. He said the biggest gift God can offer you after you are saved is to put you under a pastor that will feed you. I'm telling you the truth. That you have a shepherd. Do you know what Jesus was speaking to Peter? He said, feed. After he gave them all the instruction needed, he said, Peter, loveth me thou. He said, but master, you know I love you. If you love me, feed my sheep. This is my heartbeat, that my sheep be fed. Three times, repeating the same thing. Peter, lovest me thou, said, master, you know I love you. See, if you love me, feed my sheep. Meaning they are already saved. That's why they are sheep. But they needed to, they should be fed. So it's a great gift that you are in this church. And you celebrate Jesus for that. Because we could have a church where I could go in trance 21 days. And you know, you bring apple, you bring banana, you bring pawpaw. Every day of the watch night service, we come with different fruits. But listen, men are not built on those things. Christian men, armies of Christ, are built by the word of God. So I commend you to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Praise God. To anybody that comes to this church, one thing you should know, the priority is the teaching of the word. And so let's look at verse 5. That's where we are going today. Verse 5, very important. For there is one, oh my God. Can you already, how many of you have seen, are you seeing something here? Is it clear? Can we read? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That scripture is pregnant. And we'll be receiving delivery from last week. There will be more delivery this morning. And I looked at that scripture. For there is one God. We were able to establish one last week, that there is only one God and one way to God. We were able to establish it. There is only one God. The gods are dead. There is only one God. As far as we are concerned, we don't know Shogo, we don't know Obatala. As far as we are concerned, there is only one God. That was why Paul was telling the Corinthians. He said, for we know that those who eat before the temples of God don't know what they are doing. For we know that there is only one God in heaven. There is only one way to God. We're able to establish that one access is to God, which is Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one coming to the Father except through me. One way. Every other way leads to where? Destruction. I can assure anybody who is not on this path, I know where they are going. And I can assure anybody who is on this path, I know where they are going. There is only one way to eternal life. Christ Jesus. Every other way. No matter what you call the religion. There's the religion that was founded by Mahatma Gandhi. It's called the religion of morality. Mahatma Gandhi was so moral. He was so moral that they founded a religion after him. And one of the ways to become a disciple of Mahatma Gandhi as a man, they will take you and put you in a room naked with a naked woman. You will sleep through the night on the same bed. And so if you don't touch her over through the night, then you are qualified. That is the standard of their own righteousness. They put a naked man. And so Mahatma Gandhi in his lifetime always have naked women sleeping around him, but he doesn't sleep with them. So for them, that is the height of righteousness. But even that leads to where? Destruction. If Mahatma Gandhi didn't meet Christ before he died, I can tell you where he is now. Hell. So, the only way
to Christ. And let me tell you, so many more religions are still coming, especially in this end time. There's the religion of the Antichrist. The Bible says he will desecrate the temple. He will go to Jerusalem and proclaim himself as Savior. More religions are, apart from the ones that have happened, you know, even after Christianity and all of that in the early church, many religions will still rise. But we know, say we know. Come on, talk to me, say we know. There is one way to God. Who? Christ. It's a person. What a great joy. Molayo, we mojet si Jesu. Daddy, we mojet si Jesu. We mojet oluwa. The best thing that can happen to anyone. So we're able to establish that Christ is both man and God. Christ is both man and God. We saw his humanity, we saw his deity. Today we are going to be looking at something interesting because of our time. I just try to, so that we can be on the same page. Last week I ended my teaching in the second service with the understanding of reconciliation. And I began to see that it was man that was reconciled unto God. And God has always been waiting for man. God has always been waiting. He made provision even before he made man to reconcile man. In case man messes up, God already planned reconciliation. And that was why when Adam messed up in the garden, there was God who had his plan intact. It only took time for all of it to be made manifest. Now we are going to be looking at this verse 5, very important. There is one God and one mediator. We are going to be looking at the word mediator. Between God and man. Mediator. Now I want us to, number one, understand the word mediator. The word mediator basically means someone that is neutral. A trusted person in the middle, usually in the middle of two people with conflict. A mediator is somebody whose interest is neutral, is in the middle to reconcile. He is trusted with that assignment. One who works to remove disagreement. And so that's why that scripture says, for there is one God and one mediator. Usually, a mediator stands between two persons or two groups. It could be an individual or groups of people or two different parties. That's a mediator. One who intervenes between two, either to make or restore peace and friendship. One who stand in between two, either to make or restore peace. Can we look at Romans 5 and from verse 1? Give me Romans chapter 5 and from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that word shows us that Jesus was the one that stood in between us and God, that we may have peace with God. The Bible speaking, I think, in Colossians or Ephesians, he said, for we were once the enemy of God. We were alienated. We were separated by the reason of sin and death. We were separated. But when our mediator came, we were restored. Our friendship with God. So say after me, I am at peace with God. So anytime somebody say, you thus says the Lord, Oluwam binu siye, show him the scripture. Mori binu oluwasa. So we know Mori Romans 1:5 verse 1, sir. See, when you don't know, you will be, listen, they will bamboozle you. So when he sees, show him what you see too. For we have a sure word of prophet. This is sure. I am at peace with God. Why? I have a mediator. God ordained. The Bible says God sworn. He took an oath. He said, you will be my son. And the high priest, by the order of Melchizedek, God chose the mediator that is perfect for the job. I didn't choose him. God chose him. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. It's not that we are going to have right now. So why is your mind bothered? It was this scripture that Paul saw, and he said in chapter 8 of Romans, for there is therefore no condemnation. Listen, when you understand these things, nothing condemns you, not even devil himself. So when devil is trying to tell you, you remember, one of the greatest assignments he knows how to do is to remind people of their faults. You remember, tell him, do you remember too? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. So, a mediator is one who intervenes between two in order to make or restore peace and friendship. So, somebody wrote a scripture, a sermon one time, and said how to be the friend of God. And while he was teaching, I discovered that I was already the friend of God. I was like, this message is not for me. You know, I took Bible, I was like, okay, I just came to my mind, I am the friend of God. There are messages you don't preach to believers. There are messages not meant for us. And when you don't understand, you will take Bible and judge. Pastor Shego Michael was sharing with me, he went to minister in one of North CNS church. And he was listening to the preacher, and he said, he used to think we have problem. He said, but when he went out, he said, our problem have been solved for long. He said, and the man started. They started writing that for a believer to know that he has trouble. Number one, trouble from God. And they were judging. Praise God. I have peace with God. I can stay on this and just be thanking God. I am a friend of God. The Bible says we were once his enemy. We are no more God's enemy in Christ. Because of the work of a mediator. Now, I like us to understand. I will look deeply. Now, a mediator equally is someone that stands or in between to form a compact to bring two parties together. To form a compact or to ratifying a covenant. Now, interesting, very interesting. I'd like you to listen to this. The old covenant, which is the covenant that was written by Moses, Genesis to Malachi, is a book seen as the old covenant. It was a covenant between God and man. Say it was a covenant between God and man. Israel was a sample that God chose and had that covenant with them, the nation of Israel. God kept his part, but they couldn't keep their part. They had a mediator in the old covenant that comes once in a year to ratify the covenant annually. The person is called the high priest, who comes every year to make the covenant again by rendering the blood of animals for the atonement of their sin, so that they can come again, they can be in peace with God again for that year. But the new covenant, glory to God, It's not between God and man. It's between God and Christ. And man stands to benefit the covenant. The first one was not perfect. That was why the Bible says, God seeing that the first covenant has fault. Why? I kept my part as God, but they couldn't keep their part. So we don't have a covenant. A covenant is a contract where we have an agreement and sign a deal that you will keep your part in this agreement and I will keep my part. But in that journey, they could not keep their part. They keep failing and keep failing. The Bible says, when God sees that there's a fault in it, and so God established another covenant. And when he established the covenant, he did not make covenant with men. He made it with his son. That through his son, we will enjoy a perfect covenant. That is called what we call New Testament. That's why we are the New Testament, the new creation that was born out of a new covenant. A new man. Born. And listen to me. This covenant, let me explain to you. So that's why when a believer says, you see, me and God have a covenant, and you know God, you see, when you talk like that, you don't understand. Which covenant is bigger than the covenant between God and Christ? That's why it's called the new covenant, and there will never be another covenant. What you receive from God, you obtain promises through the covenant perfected by the Son. You don't say, I have covenant. You say, I want to make covenant with God. Man wants to be. Go and check Old Testament. All those that made covenant with him, they couldn't keep their part. You don't know what you're saying. Just stay with the one that Christ has perfected and enjoy it. Now listen to me. Let me make an example. I and my wife, we got married 7 years ago. We had a covenant. My children were not there. And so none of them can say, Daddy, I want to have covenant with you so that every morning you'll be giving me food every day. I'll tell him, we'll tell her which covenant. But listen, they were not there when I had the covenant with their mother, but they are enjoying it. Everything we are doing, we are saving it for them. That's the how the covenant between Christ, who is our mediator, the covenant he has is God. We stand to receive. I'm a receiver. Our position in the covenant is receiving. I'm not in any covenant. I'm in the enjoyment of the covenant. When you say you are in covenant, you are saying, God, don't do it until I do my part. So you are saying you have something you can do better than what Christ has done. That's the meaning of saying, you know, I'm in covenant. God, you will not do what you promised based on this covenant until I play a part. That's why Christ played the part on our behalf. Because man seen that the first covenant he had, God seen that the first covenant he had with men, they couldn't keep it. So, I'm a child born out of covenant between God and Christ. So, I'm a beneficiary of a covenant. That's why in the New Testament, all we do is to have faith and receive. Believe in the covenant and receive the benefit therein. Shout hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? Now, I want us to understand the word mediate. The word mediate is from the good Greek word mesites. M-E-S-I-T-E-S. And I've tried to explain to you that it's when we have a medium of communication. Somebody standing in between people. Two people as a medium of communication. And so, Jesus played that part. Now, through him, because he became the access, he became our mediator, so he became our access to God. Say, I have access all the time. Yeah, because Jesus, he himself said it in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father Yeah, that's his role as a mediator. Hebrew 9 and verse 24. Give me the book of Hebrew chapter 9 and verse 24. Very important. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Hebrew 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. They are a type of the truth. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That was why he told Mary when he was going, he said, I go to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Because he's standing there. He's not standing. When a mediator stands between two people, he's not standing for himself. He stood in God's presence for us. That's why he's called an advocate. He is standing now to appear in the presence of God for. Now let me tell you how this plays out for a believer. He stands in the presence of God for us. So he is the lens through which God looks at every man. You need to get this very well. When God looks at me as Cherubo Badari, he has one lens through which he sees me. That's why anytime he sees me, he doesn't see a sinner. He can never see a sinner. Because the lens through which he's seen is a perfect lens. You, at times, the devil starts coloring your mind with all kind of imagination about God or how God is seeing you. Thank God for knowledge. You be in a hot prayer at night. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing understanding. You are praying and you are praying. You are just in the spirit. Then we just color your mind. Are you sure God is happy with you? It's just a question. You are confused. Is God happy with me? You now start asking yourself. And some of us, the devil give you this image of God like one old frown looking man waiting for you to make mistakes. Many of you don't see a smiling God. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tried to explain the Father before they have a revelation. He said the Father is like the house of a man who has a son, who looted or who collected all that belongs to him in his father's house, went and squandered it. And the man coming with guilt, if his father will accept him as a slave. Bible says, but every day the Father come out. Is he coming today? Jesus was trying to explain how loving God is. Because only the Son can reveal the Father. Before then, any wickedness they see, because of lack of understanding in the Old Testament, they attribute it to God. That's why even today, you see believers attributing evil to God. See, and every day. And the Bible says, the day the man was coming, as usual, his father will come out every day, checking if he will come. And the Bible says, when the father came out and saw his son, it was not the son that ran to him. Guilt did not allow the son to run. But the Bible says, the father went. He wants to say, he said, Daddy, start a party before he starts complaining. The Bible says, party was. He asked that they should kill the biggest lamb. The killed party started. His elder brother, who is like many believers, self-righteousness, and came and said, why will you do this to my brother? Me, I didn't leave the house. He left the house. And said, are you not happy that your brother is back? What a loving God. So when you see a believer bleeding, it's not time to mock. Because God is actually not mocking. Time to show love. Incorrect, even if you are correcting, correct in love. Not to look at him and say, I know you will fall. I mean, look, since when we started the journey, I know you are good. You yourself, you are not in heaven yet. You are telling somebody, I know you will fall. he stand before. So anytime God looks at cherub of Adari, listen to me, there is no time God looks at you that is still a sin or a stain, because of who is standing in his presence. And listen to me, when you understand this, you have boldness in the place of prayer and intercession. You know, Pastor Ibitoye was sharing that she used to pray with somebody that would confess sin for like 30 minutes. I know what is going on in his mind. I know. When you hear somebody start prayer, Oluwa eshe kuku eshe koko eshe, you begin to, you understand. Listen, God is saying, Jesus is standing in my presence for you. You say my sin is standing. The Bible says Jesus is standing in God's presence for us. You went and talked like David. Say, forever is my sin. Say substitution. Your sin no more stood before God since the day Christ went before him. Since the day you subscribe into salvation, the only person standing is the Son, the perfect sacrifice. Are you blessed this morning? 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. Let's see how far we can go. 1 John 2 and verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My little children, these things write I unto you. I would like you to connect these two scriptures, the one we read before and this one, that ye sin not. But if adventure any one of you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Listen, the Bible says he stands before God's presence. He is standing with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I said something last week, for those of you who still remember, that if the reason we confess sin is because we receive the forgiveness of sin. You know, when you take this out of teaching, people say, you see, pastors say when we sin, we should not confess it. It is from what understanding you are confessing. Praise God. Give me Ephesians 1 and from verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1 and from verse 5. We have an advocate. That word advocate means mediator. We have a mediator. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to God himself, according to the good will, to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. We are accepted. You are not going to be accepted. Yara rekiolimo ni gbagbogbo ni igbo ti wo ba nse idajo. Lord, thank you for bringing me to knowledge. Many of you don't understand where I'm coming from. You know, when we talk these things, you think we're there for years. I've been accepted in the beloved. Now go on, verse 3, Ephesians 3 and 12. Ephesians 3, I want us to move a bit fast. We have a lot to cover. Ephesians 3 and verse 12, thank you. In whom we have boldness. Can you read this scripture? It's like I'm the only one seeing it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Can we want to go? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Why? Not because of what we have done, but because we have a mediator. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'd like you to give me Hebrews chapter 4. Give me from verse 14. Let me show you something. Hebrews 4 from verse 14. Very important. Hebrews 4, 14. Thank you. Seeing then, if I can have this in the NLT, I will appreciate. Seeing then, but no, just leave this. Seeing then,
that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. I told you that the work of a high priest is the work of a mediator. You agree with me, right? But in the Old Testament, okay, thank you. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to what we believe. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, hold what you believe. Very soon you hear and you still lose it. Hold what you are hearing. That's what I'm telling you. Hold it and believe it. So then, since we have a high priest, the work of an high priest is the work of a middleman. Remember Aaron in the old covenant? We stand between Israel and God. He was not a perfect priest because even him have a sin to confess. So he will first make sacrifice for his own sin. Then he will now qualify to stand, because if his sacrifice is not accepted, he may die inside. Inside the holies of holies. That's why they tie rope around their waist. In case the high priest die, they will pull him out and look for another high priest. I can't imagine they just line up, everyone just died. They now say, you are the next high priest, sir. High priest is a difficult job in the Old Testament. Imagine you say, so this year our high priest died, so Oga, you are the Oyedile. Say, I didn't hear God. The reason we come to church, some of you still press phone in church. Before high priest enter anyhow, if not only for his sin, if the sacrifice is not correct, if we mistakenly bring the blood of a wrong animal, is dead. Today you bring anything, it's because you have a mediator. You say some things in church, just yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know why I'm thanking God? I didn't come those days where judgment, listen. If you came, some of us will not be alive by the reason of the way you behave now, by the reason of the how you come to church. I didn't come that time. I came at the right time. Even the prophets, the Bible said they inquire unto whom, whose kind of, who are the people God is reserving this dispensation for? Sin then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, he entered as a man into heaven. The first man that entered heaven was Christ. He entered as a high priest and as a man. Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to what we believe. We are believers. Hold what you believe. Verse 15. Give me verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. The man who stands before the presence of God understands our weakness. Why? He was once here as a man. Before he went into heaven as a man. He said, for he faced all the same, faced all of the same testing we do. Yet, he did not sin. As a man, before he stood before God, he was here. I showed you his humanity last week. The Bible says he wept. The Bible says he was hungry. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to lose a friend. There is nothing you are going through that Christ does not understand. So when you ask yourself, is he only me? It's not only you. Christ was there. Lord, why me? You ask, why Christ? He too was there. The Bible says, having the understanding of what we are prone to. Yes, he didn't sin. This is one of the things that qualified him. I'm going to show you what qualified him to be a mediator, as time permits us. Why is he qualified? Yes, he didn't sin. Give me verse 16. I like us all to read verse 16. Very interesting. So, let us come boldly to the throne.
Be bold all the time. When you are weak, come. When you are strong, come. There is what? Mercy and grace. Constant. Because of whom is stand, who is standing before God for us. Shout hallelujah. I'm going to show you what qualified him. Now, he's a mediator. I've shown you. What number are we now? Number 3, right? Okay, let's look at number 3. As a mediator, his name is given as a means of communication to God. Write it down. Number 3. As a mediator between God and man, his name is the only name God hears and does not turn his ears. His name. Philippians 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 and verse 8. Give me, in the King James Version, Philippians 2 verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Matthew 18 and 19. Matthew 18. Make it fast because of our time. Matthew 18 and 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. By being a mediator, his name became a means of communication. And that's why when you pray, you don't just pray anyhow. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father. You know, when I hear some people praying, Olu Olorun Idati Agbara Iyanu ko sele. Yes! Oluwa. Oh, ni gbo Jesus yen gan tan. Yes, Agbarawa. I'll be like, what is this? At times I don't say amen until I hear what you're saying. Because that is if that name is not there, pray 100 hours. The access. Let me show you John chapter 14 and verse 26. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said. Give me verse 13. Give me verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Give me verse 14. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I remember many years ago, somebody was being trained on how to pray. Those of you who like calling names of angels in prayer, Eli Rafa, Eli, they call all kind of names. One name. Because angel was not the one that mediates between you and God. It was not an angel. It was not holy Michael that stood or that is standing. Or holy Uriel. That is standing between you and God. His name is Christ. So there is a man standing constantly in God's presence. If you like, call any name. Call your own father's name. Call your son's name. Everyone join together. If the name Jesus, Olorun Baba wa ori oke apata, all of that doesn't count before God. Aimoye apata Olorun da. Because ori oke wo ori oke apata. He doesn't answer people by location. He answers by a person. And his name is Jesus. Can you say Jesus Christ? Jesus, I know. Even devils knows this name. and Paul I know. Who are you? By one name, you come to God and you will never be rejected. Father, in the name of Jesus. That's how to pray. You start with his name and end with his name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that peace reign over this nation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Some people say in all kind of English, by the name, through the name, whatever, just put the name. Your English may be wrong, but the name should not be wrong. God understands that we are limited in language. Praise God. So the name. Somebody say after me, say the name. Give me Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. All time is gone. Colossians 3:17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you blessed this morning? And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Even in our doing, should be in his name. Not only in prayer. Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise God. He stands as the high priest. I will continue, you know, with in the second service what qualifies him to be a mediator. It's very important you hear this. Very important. Now, as a mediator, as I said earlier, he stands as a perfect high priest. Say after me, he stands as a perfect high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, like I told you, the high priest is not perfect because he has to make sacrifice for his own sin before he is qualified to enter into the holies of holies. And after his death, another person comes up. Let's see how many scriptures we can look at, you know, understanding this, that Christ as our mediator stands as a perfect high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Many of you will probably have been hearing Melchizedek, will bring an understanding to us by God's grace, maybe in the next teaching, so that you understand why, you know, Jesus is always related to the priesthood. I mean, if you remember Melchizedek, you know, that met Abraham. The Bible say, I talk about him, the Bible say he had no beginning, he had no end. And he was called the King of Salem. So literally, the person of Christ in typology, in Melchizedek appeared to Abraham. That was why it is not possible to call Abraham the father of faith if he did not meet Christ. The reason he was called the father was that encounter with Melchizedek. Not all that he believed, but that he met Christ in the person of Melchizedek. The Bible says you believed. And the Bible says, being the first man, that it was recorded for him that his believing was recorded as righteousness. How do you give an offering to a man you have never met before? He does not have end, he doesn't have beginning. And you believe him. The Bible says he gave 10% of his loot, of his spoil, and gave. And the Bible says Melchizedek blessed him. The blessing was not for the cattle, it was for the nations. That day he became indeed the father. And the nation is the nation of the new creation. It's not Jerusalem. It's the new creation. The nation of the new man. New man. Now there are three tribes as far as God is concerned in the old earth. Israelites, Gentiles, and the new creation. Israelites, every other nation fits into Gentiles, and the third nation is the nation of the new creation. And that is where I come from. I am Ijeshaman of the new creation. Kasuri anda kapraske taila. I know where I come from. It's God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rise up to your feet. Are you blessed this morning? I'll continue from here. Thank you for bringing this word to you this morning with great power. and understanding. And talk to God. Say, God, help me to grow in the revelation of your word. Help me to grow in the light of your word. Let the revelation of Jesus be on the increase until nothing matters again. Until nothing matters again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Receive all the praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name.